Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are as Wi-Fi chicks. There goes the espresso grinder.
We haven't heard it all, like, what, 20 minutes we've been here?
At least.
As soon as we start recording, the espresso grinder goes off.
Okay, there we go.
All right, do it
one
again.
One more time.
This is Tracy.
And this is Sheila, and we are as Wi-Fi chicks.
And we are coming to you from Coffee Culture on Dundas Street East at the Glen Hill Plaza.
In Whitby, Ontario.
Yes. And apparently they have a delicious Americano because this is Sheila's second Americano right now.
Well, to be fair, your parents did just call because it's your birthday.
Yes.
And did talk to you for like almost half an hour.
I'm old now.
So, still. Anyway.
I am 10 years away from the answer to life, the universe, and everything, though. So I still have that milestone to look forward to.
That is true.
Yes. And then I have a long ways to go until I hit the speed limit, so we're good.
Right on.
Okay. So we're actually going to talk about
a
place...
Did you spend all day thinking about that?
No, I just thought of it now. That's the sad part. We are going to talk about a place we just went to today for my birthday. Just randomly pulled out of a hat. I was sick yesterday, and every place that Sheila suggested did not sound good to me. And
the one place I did suggest that sounded good wasn't open.
Yes.
Hagen's, because they're a seasonal business.
And we know I'm a huge, like, Asian file. I love Asian food, so... You know I'm not feeling well if even Asian food doesn't sound good to me. So we decided just to get in the car and drive and see what we ran into, and I kind of had an idea in mind. So we headed up Dundas Street, and we found the Dubliner, which has been open for just under a year.
Yeah, I remember when they were doing their grand opening thing, but of course I was working, so alas, alas, I wasn't able to attend.
No, we were unemployed. We had no money to attend.
Oh,
that was last year. Yes. And then since then we've been working. We just haven't made it out there. But we pulled into the parking lot, decided to give it a shot, see if they're open, because it is a Sunday. Nothing's ever open on a Sunday that I want to do. And they were open. So you walk in. It's a nice-looking kind of Irish-y pub. Nice atmosphere. Place was totally deserted at noon on a Sunday, which you kind of expect, because everybody who would normally go there is probably still sleeping and hungover.
Because they had
Sunday.
A good night on Saturday night.
Exactly. Really friendly staff. The girl we had was really friendly, really pleasant.
Super cool.
And we'd like to compare and contrast that to a different pub we had gone to further down the road last year, where the
that
staff
I was really hopeful for, but it really sucked.
The staff was surly and curmudgeonly, whereas same kind of circumstances, afternoon, nobody else there but us, and she was all like, hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
Really nice girl. So the food. The menu is very affordable. A lot of typical pub grub and then some extra stuff on it.
Yeah.
I'd say the prices are between, what, $8, $9 and about $15 to $20 depending what you get. Sheila's eating her biscotti now.
Because the other place is closed, I don't mind comparing it to it. But it's almost like it's a more affordable J.P. Fitzpatrick's.
Yeah.
Because J.P. Fitzpatrick's was really, really good.
But it was expensive.
But it was on the expensive side.
Yeah.
There was no denying that. Whereas this place has, like, everything that they have. Almost the same sort of, but really nice decor.
Mm-hmm.
But way more affordable.
Yes. A great beer selection. I mean, the girl just went down the beer list. I'm like, oh my God.
Her eyes glazed over.
And
I stopped at Magner's and got
yes.
off.
I ended up wussing out and just doing a half pint of Guinness because I was driving and I'm feeling under the weather. But I figure, you know, if you can't hold down a Guinness, you're hosed
anyway. Just
crawl in
the ditch and die.
Yeah, well, half pint of Guinness, you know, it restores the vitamins. Not a high alcohol content anyway. 10
it's
ounces
got a lot of iron
it,
in it.
I can handle that, so. But they even had Magners on tap. They used to have Sir Perry on tap. They don't have that anymore for cider, and they have, obviously, Strongbow.
Right.
So it was exciting for you to find Magners on tap, because you've never had it.
Usually it only comes in
before.
A can.
Yeah.
Right?
So that was really cool. Now, the menu, great variety. Again, like we just said, reasonable prices. I ended up getting the Irish stew, because that just was completely what I was craving after being under the weather.
I was so torn. There were so many good things that I wanted to try. But I settled with the box tea. It's the build-your-own box tea, the BYOB, where it comes with, instead of being rolled up, it's laid out flat like a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
It's got cheese, yeah. Tomatoes, green onions.
You added bacon.
And then you add whatever meat you want on it. You can have pork sausage. There's a beef,
chicken,
wasn't it?
Chicken, pork sausage, beef, or female. And then
I took the female.
And you added the bacon bits on top, too. The
yeah.
crumbled bacon, which was a good move, I think. It added to it.
Yeah. And it was delicious. And I took some home. Because it was so big.
It was huge.
It was like an 8-inch pizza.
Yeah. And it came with, what were the three sides again? The
homemade mayo.
Yeah.
Like a pico de gallo, mm-hmm. like chopped tomatoes with some herbs. And then also a boatload of sour cream, mm-hmm. which I ate a lot of, but still didn't manage to finish.
And her boxy was awesome. And it sounds so weird to say that.
I love to eat my boxy.
We want to keep this one clean. So. Okay. And for the people who had not heard the J.P. Fitzpatrick episode, a box tea is kind of like an Irish crepe. It's flat like a crepe. It's thin like a crepe. It's kind of stretchy. Mm-hmm.
But
slightly different.
It's made with potato. Like, I don't know if it's potato flour or potatoes.
I think it's made with potatoes.
Right. So it's made with that. Tracy's going to look it up. Yeah, I guess we'll find out in a second.
Keep talking. I'll look it up while we're doing that.
But some of the other things that I want to try. The box stew is amazing. I'd totally order again. It would be a great snack for the table because there's so much of it. There was like, what, 12 pieces?
It was an eight cut, but it was literally like a small pizza. And yeah. It just was loaded with food. And you know, we're big eaters. Come on, we call ourselves fat chicks for a reason.
Right.
And we didn't have any appetizers. We did think ahead this time and decided to go for dessert instead, but it was still a lot of food. Just like my stew was fantastic. It was rich, but not too rich. It wasn't salty. I was worried it was going to be salty because things like that have a tendency to do that.
Which means they must have made their own broth.
Yeah. I mean, the beef was just fall apart tender. The carrots, potatoes were cooked perfectly. It was just a great Irish stew. There were little bits of something else in the stew. I couldn't tell if it was corned beef or if it was like bacon. But it was hearty. It was just a chock full of meat and goodness. And it came with some brown bread on the side, which was really good too.
Yeah, to mop your plate up with.
It was perfect for cleaning my bowl out, so I was a member of the Clean Plate Club. Excellent, excellent food. Let's get a boxy recipe here.
You look that up and I'll talk about the other things that I was thinking about ordering. I was also thinking about getting this steak and mushroom pie, and you can add extra kidney.
Or add kidney. It doesn't come with it. It actually says underneath, add kidney, $2.99. Any place that can have something like add kidney on the menu, you know.
You know it's good.
Yeah. It's Hannibal Lecter good.
What were some of the other things that were on there? There was, of course, fish and chips. There was bangers and mash. There was corned beef and cabbage. That all looked good.
On the sides menu, they had mushy peas.
Oh,
yeah.
Mushy peas.
I don't know if you saw that on the back or not.
Yes.
They had a variety of burgers. They had a couple steaks on the menu, too.
There's a lamb burger, which is actually made with Ontario lamb, so eat local.
Well, that is what I will probably get the next time we go back. I wasn't quite up to it today, but that is definitely in my future because I love lamb.
I know.
I love little furry creatures. They're so delicious.
They are. They haven't had time to get tough and stringy, they're nice and tender.
Exactly, but that was kind of neat to see a lamb burger. And I bet their shepherd's pie is killer, too.
Yeah, they had shepherd's pie, and they also had cottage pie, mm-hmm. which is, like, ground beef, I think.
So the box tea. I found a recipe here. It's one on WordPress, on somebody's blog. It's supposed to be a fairly authentic recipe that's been handed down a few generations here. So, the main ingredients with equal parts are cooked potato, raw potato, and flour. And it's listed in grams, 250 grams of each of those.
Did you say raw potato, flour?
Raw potato and plain flour.
And plain flour, okay.
So 250 grams of mashed potato, 250 grams of raw potato, 250 grams of plain flour. And then the other bits and pieces, as they list them, are a teaspoon of baking powder, half a teaspoon of salt, large knob of butter or bacon fat. I love it when you measure things in knobs for cooking. And some milk. About 120 milliliters, which would be, I don't know, quarter cup-ish?
Yeah, but that
sounds about right. And then you also need bowls and a grater and a tea towel. So I'm going to save this link, and we will put it up with the rest of the links for the podcast. And we're going to try this recipe, too. Because after seeing it serve flat and realizing, wow, that's a great idea, I had all kinds of neat ideas for it.
Yeah.
That's a great way to use leftovers.
Well, serving it rolled up is great, too.
Yeah, like a crepe. But that's a great way to use leftovers, because you can literally make a little Irish pizza.
Yeah.
Go crazy with it. There's all kinds of stuff you can put on that. So.
Yeah.
Our eyes are aglow.
Aglow with the possibilities.
Yes. And then we order dessert, because, you know, we like dessert.
Because we're fat chicks.
And they had a nice dessert menu. And it was my birthday.
Unfortunately, because it was Sunday, they were out of everything that they made for the weekend. So there was no bread pudding. There was no trifle. And there was one other thing that they had.
They have three things on the back that are like traditional desserts that they were out of. And I was a little bummed because they didn't have the bread pudding. But she was really cool right away, she told. She's like, we're out of these. So I didn't get my hopes up and say, I want the bread pudding. And then have to have them dashed. And I do want to go back and try that at some point, because I love good bread pudding.
Right. But The Irish cream cheesecake is made with their own homemade Irish cream, which is actually very easy to do. It's almost like making a liqueur. You do basically take cream and Irish whiskey, and I think like some sugar or something, and you...
And anything else you want to add.
You
maybe
let
some
it
vanilla
sit.
And things.
I think cocoa
to that.
Powder, maybe.
Yeah.
Depending on what it's going to be.
I'm sure there's a recipe on the Cat's Meow.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I've made it once before. The one chick, Kirsten, that we knew, she used to make it all the time.
I wouldn't be surprised if Daisy's made it, because she's like the cordial master. So.
Exactly. You just kind of let it sit there and let the alcohol absorb into the cream, and then imbibe merrily.
Yes. And the alcohol preserves it for a while, but
it's not
like a forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually within 6 months, I want to say you want to consume it, and you want to keep it in a cool, dry place.
The refrigerator.
Oh, that is a refrigerator one?
You want to keep it either, I would say, in the refrigerator, or if you're fortunate enough to have a root cellar, mm-hmm. you could probably put it in there. Maybe.
Maybe.
Don't do it, get sick and sue me.
Yeah.
I'd put it in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
But.
Then again, I'm kind of funny about milk anyway, so I'm all for, let's put everything in the refrigerator and take it with a healthy dose of lactate.
Exactly.
But yeah, that was great. They put a caramel sauce on top of it. It was rich, but not too rich.
Yeah.
You know how some cheesecakes get super dense? And there's the two different styles. One's New York and one's Philly style.
Yeah.
And I don't remember which one's which, but this was the other style.
That's not
It's more like a mousse almost.
Yeah.
But it was, the taste was so good. I didn't think the Irish cream would come out as strongly as it did in it. But it had a really distinct Irish cream flavor, which was perfect for a cheesecake.
And it didn't taste like Bailey's.
No.
For those of you that maybe don't like Bailey's, it did taste like Irish cream, mm-hmm. you know. So, let's see. That was amazing.
Yes.
Totally going to go back. They're putting in dartboards. Mm-hmm. They have karaoke.
They converted the billiards room.
Yes.
Or, I'm sorry, the meeting room that they were trying to rent out for business meetings that people just weren't using. They've converted it to a billiard room. So
they're...
It's exciting.
And then they do comedy nights, too, so they really do have a lot of things going. They've mm-hmm. got live music, all that stuff.
We haven't even said the location. It's just down the street from where we are now. It's on Dundas East. If you're going from Oshawa towards Toronto, which means you're heading west, you just keep going on King to Dundas, and it's on the left-hand side. It's right by Licks, which is really easy to find Licks, because they have that huge sign up. So just look for the Licks sign
as soon as you
and turn
Licks,
to the first
turn
left.
Lot.
Yeah. And... Highly recommended, lots of parking. It looks like it's in a strip mall area, and it doesn't look very pubby from the outside, but don't let the outside fool you.
Yeah.
It's a really nice place on the inside.
It's very cool.
You
should totally check it out.
Exactly. If you're in the area and you're looking for an Irishy place, or you need something to fill the hole that J.P. Fitzpatrick left in your life, highly recommend checking it out. So next up, we also want to talk about another place we went to a few weeks ago.
It's also in Whitby.
Yeah, it's just down the road past Licks in the Dubliner.
It's called Shake, Rabble, and Roll.
Yes. It's in the same vein as Licks and Mr. Burger. It's kind of a retro 50s, 60s burger joint.
Yeah. It has diner written all over it.
It does. And they even got some, like, old diner-style furniture for the booths and everything. They have
I don't know where they scoured to find it, but that milkshake machine looks...
Vintage.
Yes. With a capital V.
Might as well talk about the milkshake machine first. It had that, like, I think I have a picture on my phone. Or was that the day I had the camera with me?
I'm not sure. But it's that teal color mm-hmm. of plastic that everything was in the 1950s.
You know, nothing says affordable like a lime green kitchen kind of deal.
Yes.
Actually, I do have the pictures on the phone. Oh, you can't see it in the picture, though. It's too small. It has that vintage look to it, not that I've been done in the retro vintage style. And it's an old school milkshake machine. They make their milkshakes old school with the scoops of ice cream and the milk and everything in it. And they put it in the milkshake machine with a little tiny blender bit that goes in and
it's like
rolls
an industrial stick blender.
Yeah.
That you put the cup, you know, around.
Yeah, with the metal cups and everything. That was our dessert when we went there. We're just going to work from the back up.
Yeah.
And we got a strawberry one.
Yeah,
we had a strawberry.
Master strawberry, because that's my favorite.
Sheila's partial to strawberry. I am partial, if I can get it, to banana. If I can't get banana, vanilla's my second favorite. You would think as much as we like chocolate would be our favorites, but...
It just doesn't do anything for me in ice cream.
It waters down the chocolate.
Yeah.
I'm
if
curious.
I want chocolate, I'd just rather eat chocolate.
Exactly. If I want chocolate, we're going to go for chocolate. Otherwise, I want to explore the other flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Save the chocolate for when you can really appreciate it, you know, in a giant 5-pound bar.
Yes.
We've probably never talked about this in the podcast, but one year Sheila found a 5-pound Hershey bar and bought it for me for Christmas. And she teased me with it. She wrapped it. She stuck it under the tree. She taunted me with it. She's like, you'll never figure out what it is. Ha, 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 ha. So I went up and I was rubbing my hands over it, trying to figure it out. At first, I thought she'd got me some kind of, like, stained glass window. Because you know the Hershey imprint on the bar? I'm like, did you give me, like, a stained glass Guinness sign or something? She's like, no. And I'm, like, shaking it. And she's like, careful. It's fragile. So I'm like, oh. And then I felt it crack. I'm like, oh, my God. So I thought I'd broken my gift before, but I didn't want to say anything to her. So I'm like,
I didn't realize you did that.
Oh, yes, that's bad. But there wasn't any rattling, which confused me even more after I cracked it. I mean, I went crazy.
Expected to hear things rattling around loose parts.
I did. I went crazy for like 2 or 3 weeks trying to figure out what this stupid thing was. Finally get to unwrap it Christmas morning, and then there is the largest Hershey bar I've ever seen in my life. And we had the thing for like 3 or 4 months.
It got to the point where I was helping her finish eat it. Yeah. Because we didn't want it to turn white.
I ended up using the rest of it to make chocolate chip cookies.
Because I just break off a hunk and spread peanut butter on it. And make myself like a Hershey outside peanut butter cup.
And if you're wondering what a 5-pound Hershey bar looks like, it was about, what, 18 inches by about a foot? Maybe 20-some inches by about a foot? 2 feet by a foot or so? It was rectangular and huge. Big enough that, you know, bigger than in length than a laptop. And about the width of a netbook, maybe wider. And it was about 2 inches thick. Just
gigantic.
More chocolate than one person should have. Yes.
It was cool. I'm like, she will never buy this for herself, so I'm totally safe to get it.
Yes. Because I wouldn't buy a 5-pound Hershey bar. I'd lust after it and pick it up and look at it, but I'd put it back down because I know I don't need 5 pounds of chocolate. Thank God I have Sheila to indulge my gluttony. But anyway, that's the whole point of that is we like chocolate in chocolate form. Chocolate in other forms can be good, but it's hard to keep the chocolatiness into the things, which is why we prefer vanilla or strawberry for our milkshakes. Back to Shake, Gravel, and Roll and their amazing burgers. And they have other things on the menu there, but there's no illusions, really. If you're going to go there, get the burgers, because the burgers are just awesome. All of them but one on the menu are handmade and not frozen.
Right.
So you're getting fresh burger meat.
Exactly. The one that I got was the one that had the cheese and the bacon all mixed up inside it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard of that before, and I thought it was going to be, like, okay. I've seen on different cooking shows.
Good Eats did it.
Yeah, where they make the patty, and then they kind of, like, split the patty in half, and they put a piece of cheese, and they put the bacon inside, and then they seal the patty back up so that the cheese and the bacon are inside, like, a pocket. Whereas this was, like, chopped up bacon and shredded cheese mixed in with the hamburger and then grilled. But they put enough of it in that it made it really good. If you don't put enough in, it's just dry and mealy and horrible.
They are not stingy with the cheese.
Yeah, they go crazy with the cheese
Yes, I had a cheeseburger, and I got the one that's the not frozen one, and I don't remember the names of them, but the one that's pretty much the cheapest one on the menu, that's the one you don't really want to order, because that's the one that's just like a regular burger patty that they didn't really make themselves. And they tell you that up front, because we went to order.
Yeah.
And the girl said that one's the one that's not the handmade,
non-frozen.
That comes
from a box in the back freezer.
Yes. She was just up front with it. She's like, you want one of the other ones, probably. I'm like, you're right, I do. I want the number 2 or 3. I want to see if you go down the menu and the numbers, the number 1's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That, again, you may enjoy it, but if you're going to go there, go whole hog. Spend the extra $1.50 or $2.
Yeah, it's not like it's an exorbitant
amount. And get the
other
burgers. Yeah. It just was, again, it reminded me a little bit of going to Lick's, but even better quality. It's the burger your uncle would make in the backyard for a holiday in the summer.
Yeah.
While he's standing there drinking a beer and cooking at the grill, that's what it tasted like. It was just perfect.
Yes.
The only thing that would have made it better is if we could have gotten the buns from Mr. Burger and used those for the burger. Because their buns were good, but the Mr. Burger buns are still just awesome.
Right.
And I had the regular cheeseburger, and they have a whole gamut of toppings for you to get. You can pick what you want. I just had lettuce and tomato and barbecue sauce. You had pickle,
ketchup, mustard.
Yes.
What were the fries like?
They were fresh cut.
They were chip truck fries.
Yes, they were just like chip truck fries. They fresh cut their fries. They do them right. You could see them pulling the raw fries out of water and then putting them in to do the first stage of cooking.
Yeah.
And they do it right where they do the cooking and then they par cook.
They par cook them.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's good French fries. You want to par cook them and then pull them and then crisp them when you're ready to serve them. That's what gives you the nice crispy outer coating and the fluffy inside.
On the inside.
Whereas if you just try to do it all at once, you get a crunch bit.
It ends up gummy. Like, they end up soggy, kind of, because they absorb the grease.
Yeah. And the moisture doesn't get to escape either, I don't think.
Yeah.
There's probably...
That has to do with... There's some sort of science involved. I can't remember exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. But you're right, though. It's like... Cooking it cooks the inside and makes it fluffy. And then when you do the second cooking, that's what crisps
up the
outside.
It seals it, yeah.
Yeah.
It's similar to why you poke a baked potato when you cook it. If you want a fluffy inside, that'll keep your potato from getting gummy.
Because the steam escapes.
Exactly. Whereas if the steam stays inside, I think it does stuff with the starch and it mingles and has a party.
Makes it all gluey
and totally wrecks the inside. Just like if you overcook a potato when you're making mashed potatoes.
Yeah, it
and
turns
I've done
all
that.
Gummy.
Yeah. I did that once. I overcooked the potatoes to make a pierogi filling, and it came out like glue. Like, we could have put wallpaper up with this stuff. It was horrible.
I felt bad for it.
I felt bad for it,
I felt sorry for it.
Yeah, I learned my lesson, and I never again overcooked the mashed potatoes for anything.
And don't overbeat potatoes either, because it'll do the same thing, where it does bad things with the starch molecules and everything.
Though, if you add a good bit of fat to the potatoes... You can
like
usually prevent that. Yeah, well, I've noticed when I do them, if I add a little bit of extra cream and the butter, I can whip them like I like them light and fluffy.
Yeah. That's
so
probably what
bad.
Allows them to become fluffy and creamy instead of
gluey
and horrible.
Yes. We're all over the place on this. You can tell we haven't podcasted in a while.
I know. I feel so bad.
Well, part of it's been, for our listeners, is Sheila's schedule has been crazy right now. My schedule's changed at work a little bit. And we've both just been kind of trying to adjust to that, and trying to find time to go out and eat, let alone to podcast, has been horrible.
Yeah.
And we also went through a phase of, we just wanted food, we didn't want to be adventurous, we just wanted to eat things that we knew were good, so we went to places we've been before, just for comfort food, to get through the spell of craziness.
The harrowing of week.
Yes, and we really thought after November we'd be able to bounce back and do what we needed to do and hunker down and podcast some more, but we've just been overwhelmed.
Well, and then Christmas just showed up out of nowhere, booted the door in and pointed and laughed at us.
I know. And then threw a Christmas tree at us. What?
Oh.
And part of it's, I think we put our Christmas tree up so early this year, we completely forgot that, oh yeah, Christmas is actually coming.
Yeah.
So.
I think a lot of people were blindsided by Christmas this year, though.
But anyway, prices on Shake, Rabble, and Roll, it's just like going to Mr. Burger or Lick's or any of those other places. It's a very affordable place. You could take the whole family. Everybody's going to be able to get a good burger. They had kids' meals.
They have whistle dogs.
They have whistle dogs. They had a lot of good stuff that really looked good on the menu, and it's all the same kind of food that you get like a diner's kind of joint. And they're also one of the places that do car cruises all the time.
Yeah.
And motorcycle cruises. So if you're into that scene and you're new to the area, or you're coming to Oshawa for something else and you're looking for a place that they do that if you're in town.
You want to meet people that are into that kind of thing if you're thinking about getting into that scene. That's a good place to start, probably.
And they have a website. They list when they do the car cruises. We'll put the link up with everything else. So, which growing up, I remember very few car cruises, seeing them. They were infrequent and few and far between, and they were never in the area where I grew up. So I never got into the car thing.
Yeah.
But it seems in southern Ontario, in central Ontario, that's a huge thing.
Yeah. It's a big thing.
Literally, where we lived in Orillia, the car cruise that they used to have every Friday at the Home Depot in the parking lot was probably bigger than any car cruise I'd ever seen in my life, even at special festivals in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a huge deal up here to do the classic car thing. They have that big show down by the lake in Oshawa every year.
Well, Oshawa being, you know, the General Motors place. I'm not going to say the birthplace, because I think it was actually started somewhere else.
It was started in Michigan, but... There was another car company that started up here that eventually got bought or merged or something.
It was the McLaughlin Carriage Company. Then R.S. McLaughlin changed into a General Motors plant. But anyway, because it's such a big car town, people really, really love their cars, especially the classic ones.
Yeah. But it's a unique culture, and since we've moved here, I've seen so many different cruises. Everywhere we go, somebody has a sign up, car cruise on Thursday, car cruise on Friday.
Yeah.
I think if you're into the hobby up here, you could literally find someplace every night of the week.
Yeah,
to take your car out if you wanted to. So, it's kind of neat to see that, though.
It's an interesting hobby, and it's probably a great community. I'm not personally involved in it, so I can't say.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing it's the kind of thing where you have people that you see, you know, at different things, and you're like, oh, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
And although it's not like you have to keep in constant contact, it's a... community that you can be along to, right?
It's an individual hobby that you get together with other people to share every once in a while, but it's not dependent on having other people to be able to participate in your hobby. So I can see the attraction to it, but I just love how I don't know if it that and the motorcycle scene is what spawned all these places like Licks in Mr. Burger, or if
in Hagen's.
In Hagen's, because they do a cruise too.
Yeah.
Mr. Burger doesn't, but I lump them into the same thing. I don't know if it's that's what spawned these places, or these places
just kind of gravitate.
The cruises gravitated to these kinds of restaurants. So it's just a neat culture. Mm-hmm. I've always thought about that. Every time we pass one of them, I think of the car cruises and how there are so many classic cars in this area.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to add for this episode?
I don't think so.
I think we're going to record another one anyway, so
I'll save some BS for that.
All right. So this is Tracy.
And this is Sheila. And we're Spy Fat Chicks. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed the Spy Fat Chicks podcast. Please add us as a friend on MySpace and or Facebook. You can also follow us on Twitter. Please email your comments, questions, or suggestions to zweifatchicks@gmail.com. That's zweifatchicks@gmail.com. Our theme music is Hot Swing by Kevin MacLeod. Our podcasts, like Mr. MacLeod's music, are protected under a Creative Commons attribute copyright. You can make copies of our shows and share them with friends, but please make sure that credit is given. Once again, thank you for tuning in, and we hope you have a great day.